Hey, folks, welcome to Who's Next? I just decided is the name of this podcast. This is Stephen Graham, and this is a new adventure here where times are rough, so we're going to go and do some of the best thing you can do as a wrestling fan, and that is watch Goldberg squashes. And for the purpose of this podcast is watch every Goldberg match in order chronologically for as long as I can keep convincing people to come on. And for the first podcast, I brought on a wrestling podcasting legend from Wrestlingspective, Jason Mann, who's recently come out of the bunker. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, Stephen. I'm pleased to be on the show to start the grand experiment. I am pleased to be who's first on the podcast.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. I like that. Yeah. As you mentioned, I'm the host of Wrestlespective. We've been on a 3.5 year hiatus.
When did that start, though? Like a long way before I did podcasts.
I think we started either 2009 or 2010. I'd have to check back into that. So yeah, we've gone through other periods of dormancy, but not 3.5 years worth. So, yeah, but we've done a few episodes. We're kind of focusing right now on Randy Savage matches. Not in any particular order. We may expand that a little bit. Depends. I don't want to make any promises because I've made promises in the past and broken them. So we're just going to, take the episodes as they come.
Yeah, I found the best way to do podcasts is not promise anything you can't deliver. So sure. Promise what you can.
Yes.
And what I'm going to promise is at least 2 or 3 episodes of this podcast.
Hey.
But probably a lot more, I hope, because Goldberg has always been one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Actually, I was looking back, and in 2015, I started this project in written form. And I did his complete 1997 run before life got in the way. So I hope – well, there's nothing in life right now, so there's nothing to get in the way. So hopefully I can hammer out a lot further along this way. But before I talk a little bit more about my love of Goldberg, well, Jason, I don't think I've ever heard you talk about Goldberg.
Yeah, I'm sure I have. I've done some Goldberg matches on my show, which for the most part is focused on main events and pay-per-views. I like Goldberg very much now. I'm entertained by his act. I recognize that it has limitations, but within those limitations is an incredible presence, is someone with just a lot of strength and power and fun moves, and has a charisma that's able to excite a crowd, and generally makes wrestling more fun when he's involved in it. So, I did not start out as a Goldberg fan, I'm sure we'll talk about as we get into the matches. I was about 17 or 18 when he came onto the scene, very much a inseparable smart mark, and took me a while to shed that, but I'm a Goldberg fan.
Do you remember any of the Goldberg rumors at the time?
Like
who he was or like anything like that?
Oh, I don't really remember anything specific about who he was. I mean, eventually figured out that he was a, former, he had been a Georgia football player and played for the Falcons in the NFL and that kind of thing. I remember there later being some rumors that he was going to be some sort of mixed martial arts shooter gimmick, and that he was going to be named Mossad for the Israeli intelligence agency.
That's great.
But I don't remember if that was when he debuted or if that was retroactively that these were ideas for him. I honestly can't remember exactly. I think the first time I really heard about him, and I was just kind of getting into the Observer and the Torch and, and internet rumors and having some kind of understanding of of being smart to the business. I mean, before that, I really had no idea. So I was still, dipping my toes into this and had no real understanding of what was credible, what was not credible in terms of rumors. So it was a fun time.
I remember one I heard was that people were claiming it was Kendall Windham.
That's right. Yes. Pendo Windham gained 100 pounds of muscle. Yes.
And shaved his head. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Barry Windham got much bigger as he got older.
Yes. Not in the right way, but yes, he did get bigger. Yeah.
That's not great.
Not the fat shame Barry Windham, but you know, not a muscular guy in his later years. Barry was, even in his prime, you know, muscles were not something, you know, Barry had a lot, just despite my love for his wrestling skill.
Oh yeah. And surprised they never pushed him into the blood runs cold stuff.
I mean, they were better off not putting him into that, you know, as it turned out. But yeah, he would have, you know, kind of fit that in terms of style and in terms of even character wise, I think he could have actually fit into that as well. But definitely better for his career that he had nothing to do with it, because it was not a success for the other guys who were in it.
I love Glacier, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sure, but, you know, he was obviously compared to Glacier, because Glacier started off with an undefeated streak. He had, you know, the martial arts, you know, as part of his character, too. So, you know, there were some natural comparisons, you know, at first when they were, you know, not super heavily pushing Goldberg, but were pushing him enough that, you know, you could tell they were behind him. But those comparisons quickly became shallow very quickly.
Yes, very much.
Yes.
So Goldberg, he was an all SEC, I guess that's a college division at the University of Georgia in football.
Yes. Yes.
And then, yeah, that was the Southeastern Conference. I used to watch college football. I used to know this stuff.
That's preeminently the biggest college football conference. That and the Big Ten, I think, are the two, you know, really major ones. There's a couple other big ones too, but they generally have the national championship. The Southerners are very, very proud of the SEC, and will not stop telling you about how great the SEC, if my experience living in the South is any indicator. So.
Yeah, my football experience is the CFL, so we don't quite, I guess there's a Big East versus West thing, but it's not the same. So what else? He went on. He played for the Atlanta Falcons. All this is very, very convenient for ending up in WCW.
Right.
Like, for WCW, who was based in Georgia, to pluck this guy from the Falcons and the Bulldogs, and have him become their star. Like, they went to it a few times later on, but they should have. You feel like they should have leaned into that a bit more, eh?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know how heavily you want to feed into the regionalism of it, because obviously they're a national promotion. I think they're also very conscious about not being a Southern promotion. So,
that's true, yeah.
So maybe they don't want to lean into that too much. I mean, obviously they had some big, you know, they had the big Georgia Drum show that, you know, with Hogan and some other big shows, and they certainly, you know, they didn't shy away from his, you know, true background, although they didn't push it super hard, you know, like in the Jim Ross mentions their college football background every 6 minutes type thing, which also I think was a good decision, because at a certain point, you know, once you establish the character and give them some bona fides with that, really, you know, becomes beyond the point, you know, once they're an established wrestler. But I probably the way they handled it, I think, was actually for the best. It was probably better not to push that too hard.
Yeah. So he trains at the power plant. And we're going to watch the very first match of Goldberg that's televised. He had 5 matches on house shows before. In June and July, he faced Buddy Lee Parker. He faced Buddy Landell. He faced Hugh Morris. He faced someone named John Betcha. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
I've never heard of John Betcha, but Cage Match says he exists.
Okay, I believe him.
And Chad Fortune.
Okay.
He was the bobsledder, right? Or no?
That's or was that Chase Tatum?
That might be Chase Tatum. I love WCWs.
Yes. you know, honestly, 3.5 year hiatus has emptied a lot of wrestling out of my brain, so I cannot exactly remember who was the bobsledder, but I'm sure someone listening to this will know and will be glad to, you know, tweet you about it and eventually get your answer in the future, I'm sure.
I hope so because that's important.
If fortune smiles upon us, we will get that answer. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yes.
So this is the very first match here. It's just a random Nitro, September 22nd of 1997. And here's what the if you go to the network, the WWE prize-winning network, it says mysterious newcomer Goldberg battles Hugh Morris. That's all it says. So at this point, we're going to pause the podcast. We're going to kind of watch the match, maybe come back, talk mid-match, but we'll definitely come. And we're going to watch the match now, and then we'll be back to talk about it.
What did you think of Hugh Morris?
Well, obviously later in his life, he became quite an unpleasant person.
Sure.
So what that we've learned about him. I did enjoy him in this period, when he's kind of just this fat guy who did flips.
Yeah, we all thought they were going to be the next Bam Bam Bigelow. You know, we were naive. But yeah, he was okay. Like, nothing special, but, you know, he was a fat guy who did flips. So, you know, you're always going to have some affection for those guys.
Yeah, so there's just this Bill Goldberg just standing in the ring.
Very stoic.
Yeah. So what's your first kind of impression here?
Yeah, I mean, I watched this. I remember watching this. You know, you're always kind of thinking like, oh, here's a guy who I've never seen or heard of at all. Obviously, you can tell he's muscular. And, you know, when he starts actually doing moves, he certainly will be physically impressive. It's funny that the announcers have no idea who he is, despite his, you know, amateur background. So
yeah, they just know his name at this point.
They do. Yes. And they know his first name, right? They say,
yeah,
Bill Goldberg.
Okay. That's all they know.
Right.
And they're shocked that Tanay knows nothing.
Is the other. Right. Because, yeah, Tanay is obviously very knowledgeable. Yes. He was professor after all. So, yeah. It would be like Lanny Poffo saying something stupid, you know? It never happened, right?
Sure.
So, nice little leg takedown. You know, this is, that was different.
Yeah. He's got this little different style, but it's not as explosive as it became later on.
No.
It's like he's still a traditional kind of wrestler here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he doesn't look like he's out of his element or anything. You know, he looks like
a guy who's just had, what did I say, 5 matches?
Right. Yeah. He looks like he kind of fits. He's a little awkward here, but and yeah, people are more into Hugh Morris, obviously. They know him, but
and Hugh Morris hits his finisher.
Yeah.
And he just kicks out like nothing. But yeah. It wasn't like a Hulk up or anything. It was just like a kick out.
Yeah. No, yeah, he's definitely, you know, not no selling anything or, you know, oh well, yeah, what was that? Yeah, there you go. Oh, a flip. Okay. There's a little flip. Yeah.
All right, let's pause this
for a second. All right.
So just explain what we just saw.
Yes, we saw Goldberg do a awkward backflip.
Why? Like, maybe he completely drops. Like,
right. Maybe he's been watching some Rob Van Dam matches and decided he wanted to, you know, do something like that. I don't know. That's, extraneous flips. Maybe he thought that was, you know, he's maybe like, you know, I remember there being also some talk that, like, maybe his ring name would be Hybrid, because of the idea that he was, like, these hybrid of all these different styles. So maybe, you know, like, high-flying, maybe he was trying to incorporate that into his arsenal as well, you know?
It's very bizarre.
I don't know. It did not work, no.
No, but, like, it's something they bring up in future to talk about. Like, look how impressive this guy is. But, like, it got no reaction at all. And, like, yeah, it just seems so out of place for his character, especially what he becomes.
Sure.
But yeah. I guess it's nice to know that he could do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's physically impressive for a man his size to be able to do that. But in
I couldn't
like
do it, and I'm like way below his size.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So yeah. Yes, it is physically impressive, but it's not like impressive in within the context of a wrestling match, I guess.
Yeah. Is it? How would you compare it to Bam Bam Bigelow cartwheel?
Oh.
Is that what you think maybe they were going for?
That's interesting. I would put it at like a slightly above level there. You know, I might have to see a couple replays of it, to really be able to judge, you know, if I'm going to like do like the gymnastics thing and, you know, give it a 5-point rating. But I'd give it, you know, like a 3.5 maybe, somewhere along those lines. So
it's so bizarre.
It is a little bit odd. Yeah.
I'm going to be looking for this in the future. I doubt I see it again.
Okay. Yeah, well, you'll have to do a backflip counter. Backflip counter, yeah. That's yeah.
Which dies at one. Okay.
All right. See. And no spear yet.
No, the spear isn't here yet, but yeah. There's the jackhammer kind of.
Yeah, and he does the, you know, traditional crossing the leg on the pin as well. So,
not the best looking jackhammer.
No. And number one, yeah, and he's got a little bit of a little bruise in his eye.
He did say one down. So yeah. That's a hint of the streak in a way.
Right.
So, yeah. So what do you think? This is the start of Goldberg here. What are your thoughts?
It's impressive. You know, he physically looks good, you know, didn't really, outside of the, you know, extraneous backflip, you know, nothing, didn't really do anything that was silly. I mean, it's an impressive win over, you know, someone who certainly not at a high level, but not a nobody either. You know, I think it's professional wrestling presented well. The announcers, I think, make the right amount of big deal about it. They don't oversell it like it's the upset of the century, but they, you know, talk about like, oh, wow, this guy's really impressive. And he just picked a few more, you know, impressively. And he beat a guy that, you know, we wouldn't have expected him to beat. So I think it was very well done professional wrestling.
Yeah. He comes a long way really quickly.
Yeah.
Cause like he has none of that explosive, destructive power really yet here. He was kind of just like he's kind of like Nikita Koloff here with a backflip.
For some reason. Right. Yeah. I mean, he was not, he's powerful, but not super powerful. You know, he's not, there's nothing that it suggests the, you know, the supercharge gear that we would kind of see out of him. But he, you know, he's physically impressive. He's lifting up a, you know, a big man with, you know, relative ease.
And, I guess one other question I want to ask is, do you think it was right to kind of put him with these bigger men? Or maybe he should have got a couple smaller guys so they could really, really show off his power a little bit more impressively?
I don't know. I mean, I do think that you can do a certain amount of that, but I think putting him in with a bigger guy is probably a better stylistic matches, which is something you probably want more in his earlier matches to get someone who he can probably work more comfortably with. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm not sure. I think there's probably advantage of smaller opponents. I don't know how often he wrestled much smaller guys.
He faces a lot of Jerry Flynn.
Oh yeah, but Jerry Flynn's a pretty big guy. I mean,
that's
he's
true, yeah.
Yeah, I mean he's a heavyweight type guy, probably 230, 240 pounds. I mean, you know, I'm thinking like cruiserweights. I mean, I'm sure he had matches with, you know, guys here and there, but you know, I don't remember that being a standard thing. It seems like the standard guys that he faced were, you know, almost always the bigger guys.
Yeah, that's true. I guess they really wanted to. I guess they were doing kind of the Lex Luger thing. It's like, look at who he can jackhammer. Isn't this impressive? They wanted to do a lot of that. I don't know. In the future, he kind of faces everyone on the roster because he needs to up that streak once they get that going. Whenever that is, I'm not even sure. We'll have to wait and see. This is something that is kind of lost on today's wrestling. No one just kind of debuts as a nobody and gets a win and they push him from there. Like, the last time they did this was, I guess, like, maybe Santino Marella? Like, I can't think of any.
Right. Yeah, it's handled in kind of a low-key way, which I think actually made it effective because, you know, again, they didn't hammer it home so hard, so ridiculously hard as to make it obvious what they were going for. They gave it the proper way. And, you know, they had no idea what they were going to have with Goldberg. I mean, obviously they saw someone with, you know, an incredible physique and physical talent, and obviously I assumed his charisma would translate to success in the ring, but, you know, they obviously had no idea that he was going to be their biggest star in, you know, 6 months or so, and, you know, would drive, you know, a lot of their business over the next, you know, year and a half, 2 years before things started really tanking. I think we can give – I think we should give them credit for once they saw the reaction, they didn't do anything super stupid for a long time.
Took them a while.
But yeah, it took them a while to do anything really stupid. They stuck with it. And you know, at some point, obviously they didn't book him – they had enough faith in him that they you know, didn't book him to lose, you know, so they were able to do the streak, you know, once that he got hot. So, I think they – you know, they handle things well.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of, like, what if Vince McMahon had hired him and they had trained him? And I think, they basically probably would have done what they did with Brock Lesnar, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I have a hard time imagining him succeeding in the WWE of the time. Maybe later, but I just don't think. I mean, they wouldn't have let him be himself. They would have made him.
He would have had to lose.
He would definitely would have had to lose, and they would have made him some stupid character. You know, the best thing about Goldberg. Well, maybe not the best thing, but a very good thing about Goldberg is he wasn't really a character. I mean, he was a guy who just kind of smashed people, but they didn't really try to do too much with him, and that made him different from almost everybody else. And WWE was way over, you know, they had, you know, everybody there had to have a character. WCW was still like, okay, yeah, they just have guys who are just kind of wrestlers, and then they have personalities, but they don't have characters, you know, per se. And I think that, I mean, you don't always want to do that with everybody, but there are guys that it's perfectly fine to do that with and can succeed on that level. And Goldberg, obviously, I think in WCW environment, where I think WWE is too hands-on for Goldberg to thrive in the way that he did. I mean, he might have, you know, they might have done something different with him and he'd have, you know, had success, but there's no way he would have had level of success if in WWE in that environment. There's just, Vince has too much, you know, too much control, too much planning, too much needing to own everything. And WCW didn't have that. So, and there were negatives to that, but in this case, it was a strong positive.
And looking like Steve Austin probably wouldn't have been a good thing.
Right. No. Yeah. That would not have been helpful for him in
How
WWE.
How long before he would have dropped to Steve Austin? First night?
I don't know. It would have probably been pretty early. I don't know. Yeah, again, 97. You know, he joins at the exact same time. I don't know if that
was September 97. Yet, you know. So Austin was out with a neck injury. So
right.
I guess Austin's return in November, December, back from the neck injury after he took out Owen.
Probably January Raw at some point. You know, they probably have a match between the two of them and Austin wins it, you know, pretty easily. So
Oh man. I'm glad he's stuck in WCW.
It was much better for him, absolutely. Yes.
We're going to have another podcast here where we talk about who's next. It's the Barbarian, the next week on Nitro. So tune in for that. Oh, I got to get a better ending.
That's all right.
You know, I think Hugh Morris got shot. He gave him his best shot, and Bill Goldberg kicked out of it.
What a debut for Bill Goldberg.
Incredibly, with a major upset over Humorous here on WCW Monday Nitro.
Now go find out who Bill Goldberg is.
All right, let's leave that up to Gene Okerlund. Gene?
Well, I'm going to try to find out something about this big man. That's very impressive. A gentleman the stature of Hugh Morris, and you absolutely got in there and manhandled him tonight. Sir, I've got to get a little bit more than that. This gentleman just walking away from me.
Is he a mute?
I can't believe that. Tony, Larry, I haven't seen anything like that. Very impressive. But who is this guy, Goldberg? You tell me today.
Not a clue.
We don't know Gene Okerlund, but apparently he is going to talk when he's darn good and ready. Back with more live on an explosive Nitro from Salt Lake City after this.